Happy New Year, everybody. Is the New York Times anti-Trump? Well, we'll tell you in just a moment. Welcome to this episode of Behind the Media. I'm Dan Lothian.
And I'm Jimmy Young.
We find the interesting in media so you don't have to go searching for it. Like us on Facebook, use the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter, and listen on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and the CLNS Media Network. Today's episode is powered by Away, thoughtful standards for modern travel. Away makes suitcases for the way we all travel, with features like an ejectable TSA-approved battery or a built-in front pocket. They come in a range of colors and materials that will suit your travel style, Jimmy's, mine, pretty much everyone's, right? We all can find a color and a style that fits with our outfit.
And I can't wait to get Away!
Away! For $20 off a suitcase, visit awaytravel.com and enter promo code CLNS. Okay, Jimmy. The New York Times, every time you hear mention of the Times, it's always the left. It's always the mainstream media. You know, they're always going after the administration. They're always bashing conservatives, on and on and on and on.
They're educated people, and I just want to say, the people that run the New York Times have education.
They do.
They're educated, but
it turns out there might be some truth
to
that thinking that
you
they
set this
are
up, and I'm going to go after her.
Oh, you're going after.
Oh, I'm totally
her. Oh, you're
going
after
her. Oh my God, totally.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay, so we're talking about Jill Abramson. She's the former executive director or editor, rather, at the New York Times. A big time, powerful person. So what we're about to tell you is not just some person who was working in the mailroom overheard something, but this was someone who was running the organization.
And has a new book out, Dan. And,
well, yes, but that doesn't mean that just because you have a new book out, you can't be telling the truth. You got to sell the book.
Sell the book.
Right. So,
correct.
So it may be this is no doubt a truthful statement that was made in the book. It is being ripped out as a highlight in order to sell more books.
Oh,
why?
Those
because
headline
it's
writers. Those but, headline writers.
But you have to think that there's some truth to this, right?
Yeah. Howard
Kurtz did a review of this, of Fox News, formerly of CNN. He is a media guy reviewing media stuff. And he, in reviewing her book, which is, it hasn't come out yet. It's called Merchants of Truth. It's an upcoming book by Jill Abramson.
And interesting. I love the premise. Business incentives driving the news industry.
That's correct.
Which is interesting.
And which we have talked a lot about.
Ad nauseam.
By the way, Jimmy, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Dan.
We have talked so much.
Why doesn't everybody say bad old year?
Why would you want to do that? Oh, bad old year.
Bad old year.
Well, it may not have been bad for some people.
But for the most part, at the beginning, it's always happy.
Right? Well, I mean,
at midnight, you know, like everybody kisses and has a toast and Happy New Year and all this stuff. And everybody.
And then at 12:01, they hate each other.
Pretty much, we go back to where we were. Yeah,
exactly.
I think it's a 30-minute window actually where everybody's actually.
Yeah, 30 minutes. Yes, yeah. You're right. Anyway, we go back. It's good to see we've picked up where we left off.
Exactly.
But what you're pointing out is true. It is a book that focuses on how business is really driving a lot of the decisions that are made in journalism today, media. And we know that has to be part. It is a business, after all.
It's commercial media.
Right. It's not just, and you hate public media. So therefore, if you like commercial media, you have to make money. You got to be able to pay the salaries of folks. So that is always at the heart of it. The problem is, in this current climate, how can you find a way to make money? Everybody's digging around trying to find new ways to make money.
I think it's just another example of how people don't trust each other anymore.
And
they're looking for reasons to not trust.
Yes.
And the journalists and the media are in the forefront of this.
That's right. And I think her argument.
And who do we know that has taken on the war against the journalists?
I don't know.
Who is fueling this fire again?
I don't know. Who is it? Who is it? Anyway. It
seems to me that there's a reason to be anti-Trump. That's what I'm saying
if
I'm a journalist.
What did you just say?
If I'm a journalist, there's a reason to be anti-Trump.
Wait, what does that mean, Jimmy?
Because he's beating up on my comrades.
Jimmy, you just said.
He's declared war on the media.
You just said,
correct.
If you are a journalist, there's a reason to be anti-Trump.
Yes.
That's the most ludicrous thing I've ever heard.
Oh, come on, Dan.
Yes, Jimmy, you can't do. At night, when you're in bed talking to your significant other, you can say whatever you want about the person you cover. As a journalist, your job is to be fair.
Right, but you are all, we've talked about this too.
Yes.
You are a human being.
Yes.
And when someone is pushing you around,
yes,
pushing you against a wall,
yes,
berating your field.
All correct.
Calling you names.
All correct.
Pulling credentials.
Correct. Jim Acosta, CNN.
It's going to affect how you feel about that person.
Well, and there's a distinction.
How you feel about a person should influence
how you report on them.
It should not.
Right.
But these are still humans.
Correct. But you declared this as if
there's a war against media.
No, but you sort of declared it as, oh, it's okay to do that because look who you're covering. It's okay for you to
be biased when you've got an absolute bully in narcissist.
I think as a
can I call some more names on this
guy? As someone as if you're part of the general public,
no
you
respect.
Can do that.
He has no respect for his office.
All of that
he
is true.
He has no respect for his office.
I think all of that is true. But as a journalist, just you know what? Here's a good comparison. That's like saying if you're a cop,
mm-hmm,
that if someone prods you enough, yells at you, shoots the middle finger at you, that then it's okay for you to bash them over the head.
No, it's okay to tell them they're being disrespectful.
No, but what I'm saying,
and knock it off, or I will use the threat of my authority over as a law enforcement officer.
What I'm trying to say is that they have the training to be able to deal with these things, to de-escalate it.
How's that working out for them?
Well, it doesn't always work out.
My point again, human beings are not perfect beings.
No, they're not. But you can't start out with the premise of it's okay for you to think that way and act that way in the position that you're in when, in fact, it's not. It's not okay for a cop to bash someone over the head when they didn't do anything. It's not okay for a journalist to bash a president over the head just because they dislike him. I think it is their job to report what they see, what the truth is, and keep their own personal feelings out of it.
Well, the truth is he's a bully. The truth is he calls people nasty names.
And it's okay to report that.
Yep.
But I'm just saying your own personal dislike for someone should stay out of the story.
And according to Jill Abramson, former editor of the New York Times, that's not happening.
That's not happening, especially in the editorial front. She says, according to this quote, unmistakably anti-Trump is what she says.
Excuse me. Yep. Editorial
yes.
is opinion.
Well, it's not just that. She also suggests, according to Howard Kurtz. Oh, my goodness, that's a slip
that
in the Boston
that
area.
That was a
there.
Freudian slip.
Howard
somebody
Kurtz.
Else's slip.
Right. That's a somebody slip. He says that it's not just in the editorial front, but also seeping into the writers of stories as well.
I keep going back. As a journalist, I am sure that those professionals are trying really hard to just report on the facts.
Yes.
But those facts are so bad. They're so blatant, if you will, and hurtful that comes off. It's perceived as bias.
No. Well, okay. So now you're sort of watering down your initial
That's what
statement.
I do.
Now,
since I say it.
You started
maybe I really didn't mean that.
Okay. So now you're coming back closer to where I can agree with you.
Okay. No, we don't want to agree. I like it better when we argue. Was good. I'm sure the audience liked it better too.
Sure, it's great. But I think, look, we are human, and certainly deep down inside, we do feel a certain way. But I think it's wrong when all of a sudden the institution that you work for, the organization that you work for, starts leaning into that, into your personal feelings. And she certainly believes this, that there is this sort of anti-Trump sentiment at the New York Times. What do you think she points to? At least I haven't read the book, so I'm going along with what Howard Kurtz here has to say in his review. Who do you believe that she believes is really driving this? Why the shift at the New York Times? You know?
I think that, again, I think it has a lot to do with commercial media.
It's millennials. Blame the millennials. You know why?
Steve, it's your fault.
That's right,
you Steve. And your group, man.
That's right.
Will you grow up, please?
Yes.
I'm trying to.
Oh, wait. You have a job, right?
That's good. Right. He's grown up.
He's got a real job
now.
So
basically what she points out is that younger writers – are not coming to the table with the same kind of thinking, as sort of traditional thinking that journalists have in a newsroom. They think it's okay. They've dropped some of the normal rules where you can't inject your own personal feelings into a story. They're more willing to call someone out in their story. That's something that we were more neutral observers, and younger journalists tend to sort of stick their foot their mouth, and other body parts into the story. And I think that's what we're seeing here. Now, ultimately, it's Dean Baquet, who is the current executive editor of the New York Times. It's under his leadership that this is happening. So clearly he gives some direction to this, but she's pointing to this younger group of writers.
Let's go back to Dean Baquet for a second. His job as a editor.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Okay. To drive readership.
Yes.
Because after all, it pays his salary.
It pays
everyone's
which
salary.
I'm sure it's a nice salary.
Correct. So they go into, and she talks a little bit about how the Times and Washington Post fuels this mistrust for the press by pursuing implicit financial reward that comes with running lots of stories that please liberal audiences.
Yes.
Now,
they're
one of the most important thing you learn, whether you're a public speaker, whether you're a comedian, whether you are presenting anything to the public.
Yeah.
Know your audience.
Yes. And that's what we're trying to do here.
Play to the crowd. Well, you have to actually have an audience. Well, no, I'm only kidding. Play to the
crowd.
I know we do. We love every one of them.
Yes.
Anyway, point being, again, you play to the crowd.
Yes.
So all that Dean Baquet is doing as the editor of the New York Times right now is their job.
It is.
He's doing a good job because readership is up.
It is, especially online. But I still feel, Jimmy, that you have to be very careful. You have to have that balance between making money, keeping your organization afloat and financially, being fiscally responsible, and staying true to those ethical, foundational components of journalism. You do. You just can't let it become a gray area here. And again, it becomes increasingly difficult on a day-to-day basis to do that, covering this administration. But at the same time, you can't feed into this perception that people have that you're just, sort of stilting all your coverage to the left. You should be providing information based on what is happening in front of you, not based on your own personal opinion.
You know, I hate that left-right conservative-liberal thing.
Yeah, you do.
I do.
Even though you always make left turns.
Of course I do.
Right.
And I'm comfortable with that,
yes,
as you know.
I know you are.
Because I just think that until we get to the point where we stop calling each other names and berating each other's differences, we have to learn to talk and communicate to each other, embrace the differences, find out what we may actually have in common.
And how's that going so far in this new year?
Not well. Let me put it this way. The clock is going.
Yes, it is.
Because the House takes over. The Democrats take over the House.
That
today.
They take
That's
over
right.
the House. Right. But the government, as we speak,
2 years to
still
go.
Shut down.
2 years to go. Maybe the government will open between now and the end of this guy's term. What a horror. Sorry.
You never know.
I almost said something bad.
You know, it's so nice, Jimmy, that we have started off the new year.
Like we ended it.
Oh, my goodness. This is great. As always, I enjoy being across the mic from you. This
Thank
has been
you,
a wonderful
Dan.
Discussion.
It's a love fest.
Hey, if you like this episode and you also believe it's a love fest, then let us know. Blow us some kisses or like us on Facebook using the hashtag Behind the Media to engage with us on Twitter. Have any questions, reach out to us at info@littlepartmedia.com. That's info@littlepartmedia.com.